We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? We can't go on together with suspicion.
What was the first indication Elvis Presley had a drug problem? That he would write about being in a trap with Priscilla Presley. Okay, now look. I've been in a few traps in my life. This song is a cry for help, no doubt. All right, I just thought I'd share that thought with you before we actually kick off the show. So, with that done, stand by. Targets. You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Fired up. In 36 hours, we'll get to start the 2020 presidential election campaign. Congratulations. I'm so excited for that shit.
Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in.
Somebody make it fucking stop, for God's sake. Are you kidding me? Good Monday morning, though. It's election day tomorrow. So get out there and vote. Encourage everybody you know to vote, because election day is actually Memorial Day disguised. Yeah, that's an expensive privilege that we all get. Might want to exercise it. And it appears that a nation divided is exercising it at record numbers, at least in the pre-voting. Now, the question is, does that mean, okay, so people that are disposed to vote are voting early. Does that mean people that aren't disposed to vote are going to vote? Interesting. So, I guess we'll find out. Good Monday morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Headed up to Mankato this week. All Marine Radio Expeditionary. Yeah, in a big way now. So, if you have any recommendations, I'm speaking twice. At Minnesota State University Mankato, which is about 80 miles southwest of the Twin Cities in the land of 10,000 lakes. Yeah. So, I'm going to have to drive up and get a picture taken next to the Eden Prairie sign. Maybe I'll find out where the Musselman Homestead is and go by that. Hey. So, anywho, if you have any suggestions, I speak twice. Once on post-traumatic winning and the gospel of post-traumatic winning. And so that's easy. For me, that's easy. It's like doing this. wake up. I could talk about that forever. Right? So, anywho, and you know what? The more I read about it, the more I know the gospel of post-traumatic winning is spot on. We've deluded young military people, right, that suffer from trauma that we're going to give you a drug that's going to make you okay. When the drug that you need is the drug of staying connected to your tribe, the drug that you need is to talk about it, the drug that you need is to know that it's not going away, the drug that you need is the drug that goes with you can do it, right? Those are the drugs that you need. You don't need the zombie cocktail. As I said, there's a very, very small percentage of people that do. And for that, it's absolutely appropriate. So I'm not ridiculing the zombie cocktail. I always feel like I have to say this, okay, lest somebody take me to task for, oh, you're a therapy and a drug hater. I am a drug hater. I'm not going to lie to you about that. I've never been big on them. Both recreational or my 15-year-old like slams doors in the morning after I've repeatedly told you, like, you have rocks in your head, like, what is wrong with you? Don't slam the doors. That's going to get dealt with again in my home. Hey, whatever you do, when I'm on the air, don't slam the doors. Bam! That's not slamming a door. Oh, really? Okay, let's put your head right here, and then I'll do what you do to the door, and you tell me if it's slamming the door. Uh-huh. See, you only have to teach that lesson once. So, there you go. Efficient use of your parenting skills. Not 50,000 times. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Once. Okay. Now, so if you have any suggestions about what I should say to the luncheon at Minnesota State University Mankato, send me an email, live.allmarineradio@gmail.com. Okay? Yep. So here's how the remarks go. First of all, thank you for having me here. Before I begin my remarks, a couple things. Are there any Gold Star families here? Are there any members from extended families that have a Gold Star in them? Please stand up. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Are there any Vietnam veterans here? You stand up right now. If you want to, on behalf of everybody who serves today, including recently retired people like me, thank you for what you went through. We get treated today, whether you've done anything or not, by a very, very grateful public who does not hold the sins of our administration. Oh, my God. Right? George Bush, Colin Powell. Dick Cheney, right? The devil himself. Paul Wolfowitz, the devil's assistant. Condoleezza Rice, oh my God. The smartest group of idiots on the planet. Anywho, I digress. So, thank Vietnam veterans, because I always do that. And then have the rest of the veterans stand up. If you're a veteran, stand up right now. Right? I'll make it funny. Do it! So, how about giving them a round of applause? And so they'll do that. So then, it's kind of an interesting Veterans Day. It's the 100th anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. And I think there's a couple lessons in there. I'll tell them about that video, too. if you haven't seen it, there's video that's coming out in the form of a documentary that's been completely restored, digitized, and colorized. Is that a word, colorized? If digitized is, colorized is. I would encourage you to watch it because World War I comes alive in a way that it never has before. Pretty interesting. So say something about World War I. To include the armistice of World War I creates World War II. So mindful of how we treat those we vanquish, those who lose wars, mindful of that. To be compassionate, the Marshall Plan, right, still echoes through the world today, is a direct reflection of the armistice of 1918. So maybe a little historical perspective. And then the question, so on Veterans Day, what do... Should I say you owe us? Make it personal. So what do you scumbags out there, you civilian scumbags, what do you owe us? Huh? Huh? What do you owe? No, I probably shouldn't do that, right? So, but I do think it makes it a little bit more poignant. So what do you owe us? No. So we served. We're veterans. What did the rest of you owe the nation? I'm not exactly sure the phraseology of that, but that'll be. And the answer to that is, gotta serve. Right? And then I roll my shtick out. This country didn't get to be what it is because nobody gave a shit about it. It was not the dream of these. And, you know, and then I think I should at some point explain Veterans Day. Okay, Veterans Day, just so everybody knows, right? It's not Memorial Day. Okay? So it's, we don't, although we certainly, you know, are mindful of those who have given their life, what Veterans Day is, it celebrates the contributions of veterans to the country. Okay? And some of that certainly was giving their lives. But there's veterans, Team Rubicon, started by a Marine veteran. Okay? Semper Fi Fund, started by Marine wives. FedEx, started by a Marine. So, I think the story that's written by Marines outside of the Marine Corps is better than the story written on active duty. I will tell you that. What they do around the nation, pretty amazing. Absolutely stunning. And you hear some of the stories here on All Marine Radio. I mean, but look, a scintilla of actually what goes on in communities all over the country. So that's the first bullet. You owe service to the nation. You owe to take your children and teach them these lessons. That's the only thing I think we as a group would ask of you. One, do not forget us. Okay. Take your kids to the cemetery on Memorial Day. Take them to a Veterans Day parade and make sure they're mindful of how lucky they are to be born, right? You know, especially your daughters because, you know, most of the places I've been in the world in the service of the Marine Corps, women aren't even close to being looked at as equal. Not even close. And so, you know, your daughters have won the ovarian lottery to be Americans, to be whatever they want to be. Now, I don't know. Again, should I say that? University. I don't know. So, yeah, if you have any suggestions, what should go into that, shoot me an email, live.allmarineradio@gmail.com. I'd be happy to take suggestions. The other thing I feel like I want to say something about is something that we're going to talk about in the second hour, and that is is civility, it, are the things that I opine about, I'm not even sure I know what opine means, but I know it means lament. Opine, hold and state as one's opinion. Okay, my, that would be factually correct. So the things that I opine about relative to civility, the fact that I miss Charles Krauthammer, I miss Tim Russert, because when there's important things that go on, people that can participate in civil discourse, is that a thing of the past? As our culture goes down a road of overheated rhetoric and cliques and things like that. Do you think I should say that? I also think that we need your help. The nation needs your help as educators. Because I think what is civil discourse other than respect? It's respect in public for somebody else's point of view. Does that make sense? I think it does. Are we not teaching that? Is that a thing of the past? If it is a thing of the past, I don't think it should be a thing of the past. I think it should be a thing of the present. So, should I include that in there? That would be my own. So, I would include one. I think I can speak on behalf of all veterans and to say this. But today, 100 years after World War I, I have to tell you that I have a concern personally. And I want to share my personal concern with you today on Veterans Day. I am concerned about the future of the democracy, because of the lack of civil discourse, which is related to the lack of respect that we show each other. And so, I just want to talk about that for a couple minutes. What do you think? Good call, bad call, good thing, bad thing? So, because you all hear it, right? You all hear it. So, anyway, so we'll talk about that. Yeah. Read an email. Did you just say 36 hours until the 2020 presidential election campaign begins? I did say that. I'm sorry. It's true, though, right? We all know it. You are right. Can somebody make it stop? I think the answer to that is no. Nobody can make it stop. So I want to give you a little motivation today. This is from the Marine Corps. Right? How can you not want to be a part of this organization right here? Okay? This is the Marines hymn, and all the percussion is done by guns, okay? Of different varieties. Okay? And I love the ending. So stand by. This is just a little bit of motivation on the day before Election Day and 36 hours before the 2020 presidential election campaign begins. All right, you ready? So, just remember, it's the Marines hymn, and all the percussion is done by guns. For a little motivation this morning. That's right. You should be able to name every weapon system fired in that. If you can't, shake yourself. All right. So with that little motivation, yeah, I've already snuck Elvis in. Elvis, what a bozo, man. Priscilla Presley? I'm not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure that she's not a trap. All right, you might be having some issues there, E. All right, so with all that said, good morning to you on a Monday morning, the 5th day of November in the year 2018. Headed up to Mankato on Thursday, and then Thursday night, I will give the, post-traumatic winning spiel. Fired up about that. And then on Friday, I'll speak at a luncheon to whoever shows up at their Veterans Day luncheon. So, should be pretty cool. I'm excited about it. So, and again, I'm a huge fan of, outstate Minnesota. Twin Cities, a little liberal for me. Outstate is like small town America. All over this country, just incredible people. So, fired up to go up there. But, you know, I'm always, obviously flattered somebody invites you to speak. Pay your way. Are you kidding me? So I'm fired up. So, anyway. And if you have anybody if you want to fly me to come speak to a group, I'm all about it, man. I am all about it. So, good morning to you. Hold on. Let me try this again. So, good morning to you. This is dedicated to everybody who's going to go vote, all right? Take somebody with you. Tell a friend. They don't even have to agree with you. Just make sure. Election Day is Memorial Day. It is an expensive right. And there's all kinds of people in national cemeteries that had no intention of ever being there because they heeded their nation's call to duty. So, vote. Make sure you tell your friends to vote, whether you agree with them or not. And in that way, we honor everybody who's ever given their life, a piece of their body, a piece of their sanity to the concept called these United States of America. So God bless them. Make sure you do your sacred duty on Election Day, because Election Day is Memorial Day.
Our flag comes first to every You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Before you do the weather, let me share something I just recalled. Do you remember when Sergeant Major Canley received his Medal of Honor at the White House? Do you know how you didn't see an interview done by him? Right? He didn't say a word. And I was told by the commandant that, like, he can't talk about it. He doesn't go there. Pretty amazing. Lo, all these years later, doesn't talk about it, can't talk about it. How about that? Not a surprise, right? All right, check the weather. Currently cloudy and 53 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune is cloudy and 73. Granbury, Texas, partly sunny and 66. 29 Palms, sunny and 61. Pendleton, partly cloudy and 49. Okinawa is clear, dark, and 73. Clear is not normal for Okinawa, so I'm not sure what's going on. In the Alambar province of the country of Iraq, it is dark, cloudy, and 66 degrees. What's up to everybody listening there? In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 53 there. What's up to everybody there? And in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy and 60. Looking for what? Something's wrong. Oh, yeah, that's because that's not where I am. Right now it's cloudy in 59. Looking for high of 73. Tomorrow 71. And on Wednesday 69 degrees. So that is a look at the weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More Vol Marine Radio coming up next. On Monday, the day before Election Day, a few reminders. Remember, common theme today. All right. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. Okay, disguised as Election Day. Expensive right. You own it. Get out there and use it. All right. They died for it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good,
but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive back.
Oh my God!
Break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears. When I reach there, I'll scream. Yeah.
What causes that? The speakers in the studio are loud. Or I turn them up loud. And then you don't shut them off and you open the mic up. I don't know why it does it, but that's what it does. My birthday present that I got, but it wasn't my birthday. M&M's, peanut M&M's. Nice. So, what do you think I had for breakfast this morning? The breakfast of champions. Peanut M&M's. Pepsi. I've been crushing that breakfast since I was on Okinawa in 1985. Alright, time to check some news headlines. I got some interesting email about birthrights, citizenship, and all that. And I let me just say this. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's one of those things that pops up. And however, comma, I will say this about it. I find the whole discussion kind of interesting. I find the discussion interesting. And at some point, we may take it up. Maybe tomorrow. Since we won't talk about politics or anything like that. Not that I talk about politics that much. Most of the politics I talk about, I think, is the lament over how the hell did we get to the spot that we're in, and does anybody see any hope of it changing anytime soon? Answer to that is no. And then I was thinking the other day, I was in D.C., right? And I was looking for their news station. So I get in my rental car and I hit scan on the AM dial. Spanish station after Spanish station after Spanish station after Spanish language station, right, on the AM dial. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, the demographics of the nation are changing. And what used to be a nation dominated by white Judeo-Christian values is obviously increasingly mixed race. The fastest growing segment of the population relative to our census is mixed race. And what does that mean? What does that mean for the nation? What will the nation look like in terms of its political beliefs, what it stands for in 50 years? Now, sadly, I won't be around. But for those of you, for those of you who, my two sons will be in their 80s. Yo, that's funny. So, yeah, what will the nation be like? I saw a headline. I was looking at the San Diego Union Tribune because I was kind of, I needed to read up on the propositions in California. Okay, so proposition, whatever. California has a series of propositions on every ballot. So I was reading on that. San Diego Union Tribune leans conservative, so I figured I'd take a look at that after I kind of perused the Los Angeles Times. Headline. I think it's Go San Diego or something like that. San Diego. I'll read you this headline. San Diego, out of the San Diego Union Tribune. Here you go. They have a breaking news section. Oh, top story in the San Diego Union Tribune this morning is SeaWorld shakes off blackfish effect with robust attendance growth. SeaWorld Entertainment, in a reversal of years of disappointing earnings, posted robust gains in both attendance and revenues during the third quarter, the company reported on Monday. Total visitation during the crucial summer season grew by approximately 700,000 guests, an increase of almost 10%. Okay, but that's not... that's not the story that that I want to talk about. The story I want to talk about was a little blurb I saw about education after the election. I'm looking for it. Stand by. Okay. I'm not finding it. No, I'm irritated. Here's my point. My experience with schools is that you can never give schools enough money. They have an insatiable appetite for your money. And so doing it within bounds, and then as consumers of education, we now have, our children get fed breakfast at school. They get fed lunch at school. There's after school programs for them. So daycare in a lot of places has gone away, and school aftercare, after school programs have replaced those things. So your daycare expense is now absorbed by the school district. You know, what else in God's name do we want the school district to do? And it's incredible when you read the school district is facing a crisis of funding. And that was the headline that I saw you know what? God loves me. He loves me. He just intervened in my life. He really didn't, but I like to think he does sometimes. School districts face a more serious budget reality than during the recession, county school officials say. Now, again, record level funding of school district, and now they face a crisis. California is in no recession, okay? And has been spending billions more on K-12 education each year. But school districts across the state and across San Diego County are facing looming budget crises that have materialized already for some and will materialize as soon as next year for others. Local districts are deficit spending for years in a row, depleting their reserves and making multi-million dollar cuts in their to make ends meet. At least 10 districts in the county are projecting that they will not be able to meet their financial commitments next year, including Chula Vista Elementary School, Mountain Empire Unified, Oceanside, San Diego Unified, San Marcos Unified, San Ysidro, Sweetwater, and Vista. That's a lot of school districts. More districts won't be able to. Well, why? There is no recession. They're continuing to get more money. Why? Why? And why do they have reserves? Why does a public entity have reserves? And what level are their reserves at? I always find that a little interesting, too. Some are in worse spots than others, including Oceanside Unified, which made $7 million in cuts this year and is expected to have to make $22 million more in cuts in 2 years. And Sweetwater, which last month had reduced roughly $20 million for its current year budget because of accounting errors and budget oversight. Oh, somebody going to jail then. How does that happen? Oops. Oh, we're supposed to carry the seven? Ah, shit. Oh, my formula left that cell out. Oh, shit. Don't we double check it? Evidently not. Budget troubles are affecting even districts in supposedly wealthier areas, such as San Diego School District, which is projected to deficit spend millions for 3 years in a row. Coronado, yeah, the out on the island there. Quote, this is actually a more serious time than during the recession, said Michael Simonson, assistant superintendent of business services for the San Diego County Office of Education, which reviews the budget of every school district in the county by September each year. Most districts are going to be in a position where they're going to have to start making reductions either this year or in the next. I think it's fair to say just about everyone will be in that position. Despite continued increases in state spending, see, this is the thing that blows my vacuum tubes, right? Despite increases in state spending, districts and experts have long said California still does not spend enough on education. One study released last month estimated California needed to spend $25.6 billion, or 38% more than it did 2 years ago, to adequately educate all students. What? But there are at least three specific factors that districts say are making it harder for them to make ends meet. Email. Mac, what the hell does this have to do with things going on in the DOD? The shin bone's connected to the knee bone. No, I saw this over the headline. It's this headline over the weekend. It's stuck in my head. And it is, you can never give education enough money. They spend it on everything. But let me ask you this. Do you think the schools are secure? Answer to that is no, they're not. We're all one day closer to the next one of those events. And I know the security at my daughter's school has not changed a bit. Yeah. They studied it. This was what they were going to do. They were going to complete fencing at some schools. Is there an armed presence at every school? No, there is not. So you're willing to roll the dice with the lives of these? Well, when we looked at the alternatives, right, and what they would cost, and knowing that we're trying to keep teacher pay where we want it, we thought teacher pay was more important than the lives of, you know, than security. That element, that line item in security. Got it. All right. Hope it's not your kid, though, right? No, probably won't be. That's the beautiful thing about it. rising costs, rising pension costs. To address looming pension debt, the state in 2014 started increasing school district share of pension costs. In 2013-2014, school districts paid 8% of their teacher salaries to the state teacher pension fund. This year, they had to pay 16%. In 2 years, they must pay 19%. For Grossmont High School District, pension plans costs have risen approximately 4%. Okay, then that's got to come from someplace, right? It's going to, or something's got to offset that. It's not like these things sneak up on you. Rising special education costs. District officials say a rising number of students needing special education services and a higher frequency of severe special education needs are driving up costs. For example, 2013-2014, Chula Vista Elementary School District spent $15 million general education funds on special education. Last year, 2017-2018, that same school district spent $32 million. Okay? Over a 100% rise in their spending. Now, this, everybody hold on to your seats, okay? Because this is the stuff that kills me. Third factor in all this, declining enrollment. What? If we have declining enrollment, shouldn't we have less teachers? Shouldn't we have smaller special education bills? Huh? School districts get a certain amount of state funding per student who attends a school. So the fewer students a school district enrolls, the less money they get. Oceanside School District lost about 400 students, which equates to about $4 million annually. So, again, education, to me, it's exasperating. You have these huge institutions, right, of educators, they've got their unions, and they prop up a system that can never get enough money, ever. So, anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Education and the funding of it. And you know what really pisses me off and bugs me about education? Is if you go to talk about education with teachers, they won't say shit about it. You want to know why? Because the teachers' unions across this country have that thing sewed up tighter than a frog's ass. Hey, what do you think about that? They wouldn't tell you. All right. So, Max got issues. That's right. We're talking about civility here in a few minutes. I'm going to play a little audio, and then I'll comment during the audio, which is something I love to do. Stories, Marine stories. First of all, it's birthday week. Boom. Everybody needs to know that. So, if you know Marines, okay. If you know Marines, do something special. Or just send them a note. Hey, happy birthday, Marine. Happy birthday, Devil Dog. Yeah. Happy birthday, Motivator. The sun is setting on the Marine Corps' last EA-6B Prowler Squadron with the end of its final deployment. They've been around since Vietnam. They do electronic warfare. The cockpit is lined with gold, or at least it used to be, because of gold's density. Marine Tactical Electronic Warfare Squadron 2, or VMAQ-2, slated to return home in November from its final deployment, according to Christopher Harrison, a Marine spokesman. They will cease operations in 2019. They're currently deployed in the CENTCOM AO. And they do good stuff, man. Electronic warfare, love that stuff. Yeah, we listen to bad people. We jam bad people. They do good things. In honestly, a terrible, terrible story. But it is the most significant thing that the Taliban and ISIS can do. Utah Mayor, who was serving in the Army National Guard, was killed in Afghanistan. Major Brent Taylor, who's the also the mayor of North Ogden, Utah, 39 years old, was a military intelligence officer at Utah's Joint Task Force headquarters. He was serving with the Special Operations Joint Task Force in Afghanistan when he was killed. Another soldier was wounded in the insider attack. Initial reports said the attacker was a member of the Afghan National Defense and Security Forces. The attacker was immediately killed by other Afghan partner forces, according to the reports. Taylor's a graduate of Brigham Young University, commissioned in July of 2006. He was on his fourth deployment, according to the Utah National Guard. He deployed twice to Iraq in 2006 and again in 2007, served in Afghanistan in 2012. He was awarded the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his service in Iraq. On his most recent deployment, he deployed to Afghanistan as a combat advisor to the Afghan border police. Devastating news, said Utah Lieutenant Governor Spencer J. Cox. I hate this. I'm struggling for words. I love Mayor Taylor, his amazing wife Jeannie, and his seven sweet kids. Utah weeps for them today. This war has once again cost us the best blood of a generation. We must rally around his family. For more on Hatch, Brent was a hero, a patriot, a wonderful father, and a dear friend. News of his death in Afghanistan is devastating. My prayers and love are with Jeannie and his seven young children. His service will always be remembered. It's the most significant thing that the Taliban can do. Killing other Afghans doesn't reverberate in the United States. This kind of stuff, horrible. A story from a year ago, a year and a half ago, that when it happened, left us scratching our heads, and then ultimately later we found out that it wasn't what they thought it was. Marines filed a federal lawsuit against gas and pipeline companies after Camp Pendleton AAV gas line fire. Four Marines were injured in a gas line fire that engulfed their amphibious vehicle during a training exercise in 2017. So the suit's been filed by the four Marines. Have filed a federal lawsuit against the gas and pipeline companies responsible for the gas line operations and maintenance. Corporal Anthony Romero, Lance Corporal Samuel Kuntz, Nicholas Amrian, and Tegan Schultz are named as plaintiffs in the lawsuit, which was filed in the Southern District of California, the area that covers Camp Pendleton. The lawsuit alleges negligence and liability against San Diego Gas and Electric, Southern California Gas Company, Kinder Morgan GP Incorporated, and San Diego Pipeline Company. The Marine Corps Times reached out to the companies named in the lawsuit. San Diego Gas and Electric followed with the following statement. We are aware of a gas incident that occurred on Camp Pendleton in September of 2017. We investigated and determined that a SDG&E gas line was not involved. With respect to the lawsuit, we do not comment on pending litigation. That is from Joe Britton. Timothy Leranger, attorney for the plaintiffs, told Marine Corps Times that his clients did nothing wrong and were hit by the gas line explosion like a booby trap. Quote, they couldn't have seen it. They couldn't have avoided it. And it basically blew up in their face, Leranger said. this is basically like the companies leave a landmine out in the field for these Marines to find by accident. All four of his clients are still serving on active duty, some on limited status due to their injuries. Yeah, if you remember that the Amtrak got unstuck, and then the article says, to get unstuck, the Marines attempted to rock the vehicle, revving the engine at a high RPM, which is normal when you're trying to get out of a rut. And the metal track hit an exposed gas line that nobody had seen prior to striking it, probably uncovered by the revving of the engine and the tracks, right, as they rocked it back and forth. According to the lawsuit, the AAV backfired. I'm not sure if it backfired. Think it backfired? I would think the spark of whatever damaged the metal on the metal track caused the fire. But who am I? The AAV backfired, triggering a large explosion that enveloped the vehicle with flames as high as 20 feet, which lasted for 6 hours until the gas line could be secured. Oh, my God. And then the article talks about what the Marines did to save each other there. I mean, so you can imagine you have a flamethrower coming out of a gas line that's enveloping this AAV, and that's what they were exposed to. So I hope the right thing gets done. And I hope that whatever their injuries are, that they are they get compensated. And they also, not only do they get compensated, but they get the kind of medical care, not VA care, they get wherever Kim Kardashian would go get a skin graft, these young Marines get to go to that place to go get that skin graft. How long will active duty troops be deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border? Do you know that I read the other day that the Border Patrol is half the size of the police department of the city of New York City? Now, New York's got a big police department, but still, I didn't know that. Kind of frames it a little bit for you. How long will they be on the border? Former President Obama rips Trump for political stunt sending troops to the border. He sent troops to the border. Was that a political stunt? Oh, no, that was legit. North Korea's in the news. North Korea threatens to resume nuclear developments over sanctions. Marines want a way for combatant divers to move more quickly underwater on autopilot. Yeah, so they have this, like, machine that I remember seeing on Sea Hunt, right? Yeah, they got one of those. I imagine they have all kinds of cool things that can get you, like, a little engine underwater, electrical, in nature, hold on, I would think. Here are the rules of engagement for the troops deploying to the Mexican border. Oh, my God. I'm not going to read that. It's so stupid. All right. All right. So, and then we'll do the top five stories in early bird. We'll take a break. And then we're going to talk about civility. All right. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, Pentagon rejected requests for troops it viewed as emergency law enforcement at the border. Number two, CNN story, don't really like CNN, okay? I've never read a Fox story that's been a part of the early bird top five. When CNN's in there, kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, honestly. Which will take us into our next. Civility in our discourse, professionalism in our news bureaus, probably a thing of the past. Number two, U.S.-South Korea resume low-key military drills ahead of talks with North Korea. United States and South Korea will begin small-scale military drills on Monday, just days ahead of U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meeting with a North Korea official to discuss denuclearization and plans for a second summit between the two countries. Yeah, I don't. We never said all exercises. We said some of the major ones. So we got that going for it. Number three is a story about Major Brent Taylor. And it is, again, I believe that makes him the ninth American killed in Afghanistan this year. So when you talk about our strategic interests in the region, how we're trying to manage our footprint there, but, you know, each one of those was somebody's kid, somebody's, you know, husband or wife, and he leaves behind seven kids. It's just a horrible story. Number four story is the rules of engagement for troops deploying to the Mexican border. Number five, top U.S. Navy officer tells China to behave at sea. Yeah. Hello. Love this shit. The U.S. Navy's Chief of Naval Operations has called on China to return to a previously agreed-upon code of conduct for at-sea encounters between ships of their respective navies, stressing the need to avoid miscalculations. During a November 1 teleconference with reporters based in the Asia-Pacific region, Admiral John Richardson said he wants the People's Liberation Army-Navy to return to a consistent adherence to the agreed-upon code that would, not like the pirate code, that would again maintain, sorry about that, the chance, would minimize the chance for miscalculation that could possibly lead to a local incident and potential escalation. Chinese, they're borrowing a page from the Russians. Yeah, what is that page? That page is, let's play bumper boats at sea. All right. I was just looking to see if there was any more Marine Corps stories. Marine Corps Times. The Marine Corps is finding new Marines despite recruiting challenges. A Marine recruiting poster from the 1970s captured the spirit of the Corps' attitude and pitched what would entice young Americans to join the Corps for generation. We don't promise you a rose garden. I saw that poster, but it said, we don't promise you shit. I don't know who... I mean, this is back then. Like, who photoshopped that? But it was hanging someplace, and it was awesome. And it was a drill instructor sitting on one of those walls with a recruit struggling over the drill instructor with his arms folded, sitting there just staring at him. For the past 6 years, the Corps hasn't offered more than a $9,000 enlistment bonus. There's even a whopping $5,000 bonus for young motivators who will sign up for 6-year infantry contracts. That's less than $1,000 a year, and after taxes, the pie gets sliced even thinner. But, as with most years, Marines again hit their recruiting goals, only promising future Marines misery in boot camp. That and the fun of living in austere environments around the globe, the transformation process into a Marine, and the chance to help win the nation's battles in our new recruiting campaign dubbed Battles Won. Marine Corps does it. Somehow or other, that appeals to people. Yeah, go figure. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On a day that we salute Elvis Presley, on a day that we remind you that tomorrow is Memorial Day, that's an expensive right. Make sure everybody you know knows that, and make sure they get out and they exercise their duty as an American citizen. in tribute to those who have purchased it for him. So make sure you remind him. More of Armoring Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.